I'm going to ask that you turn with me to John chapter 14. We're going to continue there where we were the last time I was with you. John chapter 14. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1 again, and I do ask that you stand with me in honor of God's word this morning. John 14, beginning in verse number 1. Jesus is speaking, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." But Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." Father, we thank you so much for your words of truth, of encouragement, of strength. Lord, for showing us how great the Father's love is for us, how great your love is for us, and your call upon us to share, to believe and to share and to hope and to live in the joy of life with you. And Father, I pray, strengthen us today to be your people and to share your good news. We ask it to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be seated, please. We had talked about this, a couple of weeks ago, and Jesus was beginning to teach his disciples another point about who he was and his mission for all of us. But he was also saying to them, there is something else that I want you to know. And that's where he's getting to at the end there, where he says, no one can come to the Father except through me. So in order for us to make the journey to Jesus, we have to understand how to get to Jesus. And Thomas gives us a perfect illustration of how someone can misunderstand, not grasp what it is that we have to do to become a person who can be in the presence of Christ when all is said and done. I mean, Jesus said, don't be troubled. I'm going away, but don't be troubled, because where I'm going to prepare a place for you in my Father's house where there are many mansions. And I'm going to make sure there's room for you, a place for you. Don't be concerned. Don't be troubled over that, because you know the way. And then Thomas, he gives us that perfect illustration on how we ought to handle things when God is teaching us something and we don't understand. We should ask. And Thomas asked, didn't he? Lord, we don't know where you're going. How are we going to know the way? I don't know. Did Thomas not have enough coffee that morning? How many of you need more than one cup of coffee before you really kick in the gear and you begin to understand? It's like that with God. I'm right there with you. There are sometimes I just cannot get kick-started until I've had one or two pots of coffee. But this is how we ought to approach God when we don't understand. When God is trying to teach us something and we understand that he is trying to teach us something through our life circumstances, through an event in our life or in the event of someone else's life, and we're like, I don't understand what's happening. What does this mean to me? We should ask God, God, what does this mean? Thomas is doing this. He says, God, I don't know where you're going. Jesus, I don't know where you're going. How can I know the way? After all of this time that Thomas had spent with Jesus, he is still in the dark on some of the things that Christ is teaching. But they all were at points, weren't they? How many of us understand everything God taught even today? We've been Christians for how long? Some of us way too long, right? To not understand some of the things that God's teaching. But that's just the way it is. We grow and we learn every day in Christ. And if there are questions, we have to ask God for help in understanding. God, help me understand this. And that's exactly what Thomas did again. He said, I don't know where you're going. How am I going to know the way? Maybe he had heard Jesus in his teaching say this at one point, I have come down from my Father to do His will. And so that registers with Thomas. And he's like, well, He came down from where? How am I going to get up there? You know, I mean, there's a valid reason why questions abound, especially when it comes to directions on where we're going and how to get someplace. Any of you ever travel anywhere without having directions on where you're going? I know I shared this with you before. I'll share it again. It's so funny. You know, way back when I first came here in 2007, we went down to the Florida Baptist Convention, the annual convention. It was in South Florida, and there was a lot of construction work going on down there between Highway 10 and 95 and the interchange area and all of that, and it's just a mess. You couldn't really tell where you're at and this, that, and the other thing. And three of us rode down together, and on the way back up, we were having a really good time. You know, we live in Florida. We know how to get where we're going. We didn't pay attention to getting a map. You know, it wasn't no such thing as Google Maps back then. How many of you remember that? And we're driving along and having fun, and we're talking about some of the sermon time that we had had down there and some of the messages and the meanings. We even sang a little bit. And then after a little while, we were like, where are we? And the next thing you know, we're in Georgia. We had gone all the way up into Georgia. And so we turned around. We finally got up to an exit and turned around and was headed back towards I-10. And there was a road sign on the right that said, don't be afraid to stop and ask directions. Yeah, it's hard to live with that. And boy, did we have a laugh over that. But, you know, our drive time getting home was extended by about 2 hours. But what fun, and how wonderful it is to reflect on that and laugh about it. But also to remind ourselves, hey, we need to prepare when we're traveling or when we're doing something, whether it's traveling or baking a cake. We need to prepare, right? There's always something to help instruct us. And we have God's words to help instruct us on following Him in the path that He has shown us. And the path I want to talk to you about specifically is the path that leads to Him and keeps you with Him. Thomas asked, I don't know where you're going. How am I supposed to know how to get there when you're gone? And Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. Then there's three ingredients there that we need to understand. I mean, when we ask someone, do you know the way? What are we asking them? When Jesus says, I am the way, what is He telling them? And so let's take a look at this. Jesus, when He says He is the way, He is telling us so many things. I am the way. Take up your cross and follow me daily. We've heard that. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you should love one another. And by this they shall know that you are my disciples. We've heard all of that. He showed us how to love. He taught us how to love. But what I want you to see in this statement, when He says, I am the way, it's more than just that. He is the way of reconciliation with the Father. And if you don't get anything else, that's the most important thing you should get out of that. There is no way to be reconciled with the Father except through Jesus. The Father purposes our salvation. Jesus the Son secures our salvation. And the Holy Spirit reveals the truth of it to us. That's how the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are working together. But Jesus himself said, I have come down from my Father to do his will. No one takes my life from me. I lay it down of my own accord. My Father gave me this power to lay down my life and to take it up. The Father is the one who has purposed all of this. And Jesus is the one that has brought it to fruition. He is the way to reconciliation with the Father. There is no other way. God has not sent anyone else into this world to bring his creation back into his bosom. Jesus Christ alone. Paul says it like this, God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. The Father sent his Son to die for us. And Jesus said, I'll be happy to do it. Now, I don't have to look at you to know why that's a bad idea. I can look at myself because I don't deserve it. I can look at myself and stand before you and say, there is nothing about my life that deserves an ounce of forgiveness from God. But I can stand here before you and tell you God has given me more than an ounce of forgiveness. He has poured out a lifetime of love upon me. He has poured out a lifetime of love on all of creation. And he's right there before you even today. And he's calling you saying, I love you and I want you to be saved. I want to redeem you through my Son. I want you to be reconciled. Let there be peace between us. But until you find peace through the Son, you are at war with God. There is no peace without Jesus. And when Christ died for us, for those who have come and have accepted him and his act of kindness and love and find forgiveness through the cross, then we are reconciled. Then we find peace with God. But you don't find it with the world. Then you just live and deal with the world the way it is. You see it the way it is. And you say to yourself, how could I have been that way? And when you return to that way, you say, how could I have done this to my Father in heaven? And God still loves you and brings you back in and cleans you up and refreshes you and gives you that renewal of hope and of joy in your salvation. And we move forward again until the world tries to trip us. And it's like that until we get to the end of all of this. And we hear those words, well done, my good and faithful servant. But the way to get there is through Jesus Christ. And we need to understand when Jesus says, I am the way, it's a lot of things involved with that. How we should live, how we should be changed, our minds, our words, our actions, our hopes, our thoughts. Jesus taught us, he said, out of the heart comes those things that defile the person. Hatred, fornications, debauchery, drunkenness, all of those things that are evil and stand in the face of God and say, here I am, I'm going to be who I want to be. And God says, you just keep marching down that road. I'm trying to reach you, and I'm here for you. But down that path is destruction, not just for the moment, but for eternity. But Christ upon the cross took that wrath upon himself so that those who can come in faith to him have found forgiveness because he took the punishment for us. He's the way. He is the way. And not only is He the way, He is the truth. That means that in Jesus we find illumination of what truth is. John begins to tell us about Jesus in the first chapter. He says this, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." The Word became flesh. And he's talking about Jesus and who He is. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Father and the Son purposing and bringing into existence all that is. Truth, full of grace and truth. And He took on this body and He dwelt among us. But then Jesus says this in the 8th chapter of John, speaking to those Jews who believed in Him, "If you abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free." The truth shall make you free. Chains can be broken. Lives can be changed. Minds are renewed. Souls are reborn. Joy is restored. And the people in the world say, "No, I'm happy where I am." Because they are not listening to anything but the world. And let me tell you something, the world is full of noise. You know that? If you're like me, you get in a noisy crowd, it's hard for me to distinguish what somebody's saying to me. If you don't have that kind of hearing problem, God bless you. I hope you never do. It's no fun sitting at a restaurant listening to your wife and going, and then her finally saying, "You can't hear a word I'm saying, can you?" That's never fun. Why is it that people in the world are like that with God? Can never hear a word that He's saying because they are so wrapped up in the sin of their life that they can't let go. They don't think they can let go. They tell you, "I'm happy with who I am." They're just too weak to be what they should be. It's not strong living your life on your own. I don't walk with crutches because I trust in Jesus Christ. Some of the strongest moments in my life have come because I do walk with Jesus Christ. And not alone, but in His strength. Turning to Him and say, "Father, I've gone as far as I can. I don't have the strength to do anymore. I don't have the strength to go any further." And He says, "Don't worry, I've got you in My hand." I know sometimes y'all just think I'm hard-headed. That's not me. That's God pushing. But God is so good. And He is the way, Jesus Christ. He is the truth, Jesus Christ. And in His words, we shall know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. We are lost in sin. And if you can't hear those words in the Gospels, if you can't hear those words throughout all of the Scripture, you're not listening. It's too much noise in your life. But I pray that you will shut it off and stop for a moment and hear. Because God's words to each of us are the same, yet so powerfully different. Because our lives are so different, yet so powerfully the same. And God is reaching for each and every one of us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Believe in me, He says. You believe in God, believe also in me. Don't let your heart be troubled. Because He will never leave you, nor forsake you, nor abandon you. In Him, there is hope. And not just in a moment, but for eternity. Jesus Christ alone. He is the way. He is the truth. And no one comes to the Father except through Him. Because in Jesus Christ alone, there is eternal life. At peace with God and through no other. Paul tells us so clearly in Romans chapter 6, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. How many of you have heard that? But the wages of sin is death. You know, once you come to Christ, it doesn't mean that your old man or your old woman self doesn't fight with the things that used to be. But it means that you do fight against those things that used to be. Before Christ, you just live a life of surrender to sin. But in Christ, it becomes a battle to be what God wants you to be. Because there is conflict. The spirit and the flesh are at war one with the other. Because God is trying to revive you and to bring you to life. Imagine laying on the table in the operating room and your heart stops. And they got the EKGs and they're just shocking you, trying to get your heart to beat. That is the spirit and the flesh at war. One of them will win. One of them is life, and one of them is death. Not for the moment, but for eternity. I can't imagine anybody laying on the operating table, open their eyes up in that moment and say, "Hey, doc, don't shock me no more." You ever heard of that? I've never heard of that. And if it's that important, you'd think they'd at least wake up and say something, right? Well, they can't. So the doctor's just going to keep shocking because they assume that they want to live. And Christ is going to keep shocking because He knows that you want to live. He is the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through Jesus. Paul writes in 1 Timothy, and I'll close out with this verse with you this morning. He says, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, and that is the man Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all. Isn't this what I've already been telling you? One God the Father, and one mediator, the man, Jesus Christ, God in flesh, who gave His life a ransom for all. Who gave His life a ransom for all. You know, there are people who had experienced great moments of love from family and friends even. And should know what it means when somebody says to you, God loves you. But until they experience it, they really don't get it. And it's hard for me to tell you how much God loves you except to say He gave His Son for you. How many of you would give your own life to save someone in a time of need? Possibly. I mean, how many of you, sometimes we don't know until we're in the moment, but how many of you would give your oldest child, your only child, to save somebody else's life? Take my child! And yet God says to us, Here is my son. Here's my son. What a horrible day it will be in that day of judgment for those who have heard and have trampled the Son under their feet as if it were trash, dirty water to just be walked through, because it doesn't make a difference to them. They're happy being who they are. They don't want change in their life. They don't need anybody to tell them they need to change and find peace with God. But don't quit. Don't quit. Because they're still on the table. And the finality of it hasn't hit until there is no more hope, when the heart can't beat anymore. And then they have to face their choice. But we will have done all that we could. And that's all God is asking us to do, all that we can. And so I'm telling you this morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, why not? Because there is no other way. He is the truth and the life. And no one can come to the Father but by Him. Now, He's either telling us the truth or He's a liar. You have to decide. There is no other way. And if He is telling us the truth, which I proclaim to you today, that Jesus Christ is the truth, amen, and you need to reach out for this hope and this peace and this joy, and you need to reach today while the hand can still stretch towards God. Because you don't know between this moment and the next when is your last to say, God, forgive me. If you don't know Him as Lord and Savior, why not today? Why not today? Will you come while there's time? Father, I thank You so much for this day. I thank You for Your grace and Your mercy upon us. And I thank You, Father, that You have loved us with so great a love and live upon us with so great a forgiveness. And I pray we never forget. We never stop sharing. We never stop living in the hope and the joy of Your life. And help us, Father, every day to love You as You have loved us and to share Your message with all who will hear. Lord, we ask it to Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Will you come while there's time?